Man's latest album, Poetry for the Poison, came out in the U.S. and last week. Can you tell us a little bit more about the ideas and concepts behind this release?
Well, I mean, the idea was to make a new record, not a concept record, but just a new Camelot record, without any kind of preconceived ideas about what it would sound like or look like or anything, and it kind of evolved into what it is now. A little bit darker version of the Ghost Opera with, I would say, a bit more progressive elements than what we may have done in the past. And we found a new cover artist and Seth Ciro Anton to do the cover. And, yeah, the record so far, it's another step for Camelot.
And how were you guys, did you guys ever consider or were, you know, concerned that people might not get it since, like you mentioned, is somewhat different to what you guys done before?
No, we kind of stopped worrying about that stuff, you know, a few albums back. We just basically do what we want to do, what we think our fans will appreciate. And, you know, after that, there's nothing else we really worry about. You know, we're at a point in our career where we make albums that we want to make, and so far with each record, our fan base has grown, the records have sold more, and so we feel pretty confident in our decisions so far with each album, you know.
And Poetry for the Poison seems kind of like an interesting title. Can you tell us how you guys came up with it to name this record?
Well, you know, we had a couple of different titles. One of them was The Great Pandemonium, which actually ended up being one of the song titles. And Poetry for the Poison was just a metaphor for, you know, everybody in today's society that's poisoned by something, whether it's alcohol or bad television or the media, politics, whatever, you know. It's just a metaphor for what you see today in the world, you know. So I think it was a title that really, you know, kind of goes along with what we're looking at today in society, you know.
And how much is like personal experiences and everything related to the ideas behind the album?
Well, we basically started putting a lot of personal influences into the records, probably since the Black Halo. For example, on the new album, there's a song called Hunter Season, which is written in memory of my mother, who passed away recently. So there's always going to be some personal things here and there, whether it's, you know, kind of literal, like in Hunter Season, or maybe it's just mixed into the lyrics in a different way, you know, so that the fans have to sort of dig into the lyric to find out what it's about. We basically, you know, nowadays we really try to put a lot more personal things into the songs, and I think that's also an important element of the growth of the band is, you know, being a little bit more personal with the music and with the lyrics.
And I mean, and like people know, I mean, some members of the band are not, I mean, they're spread out. How do you guys write the music and manage to get, you know, some face time or time to piece it together?
We do songwriting sessions. Usually we do two or three songwriting sessions. I'll go to Norway. We might meet in Germany for songwriting sessions, you know, and they usually last between 2 or 3 weeks where we get together and we have a little portable studios and we sit and we work on music together. That's how each record has been kind of done since the beginning. You know, we have a lot of, we do a lot of flying, you know, all over the world to do this, but that's kind of how we work, and it so far has worked great.
And do you think that maybe a more traditional approach would have created a different sound for the band?
Traditional in what sense?
Like a more traditional, like the band gets together, rehearses, and records because everybody lives close by.
Well, I mean, yeah, that might make the band sound different. I don't know. I mean, that's something we're going to actually try on the next record, is do more kind of jam things where we get together and come up with ideas as a full band. But I think in general it's not going to be that much different. I mean, when we sit and write, you know, we think about the drums, we think about the bass, we think about the keyboard. So it's in a way we represent everyone somehow when we're doing songwriting.
And who provides the biggest input when songwriting, or is it like an equal joint effort?
I mean, right now the songs have basically been written by myself and the singer Roy. Roy writes all the lyrics. We both work on the music together. And, you know, we started bringing Oliver in, that's our keyboard player, mm-hmm. to contribute more musically, and I think in the future you'll see that, you know.
Does that have anything to do now with also the bigger, like, keyboard orchestrational influence in the new album, too?
I wouldn't say I wouldn't say so, because it's only been a couple of songs where he actually wrote. You know, that was more something that kind of evolved when we were writing the songs between myself and Roy. And we use one of our producers is Miro, who's a wizard at writing orchestral parts. So I think that was, you know, more of a mixture of those kind of elements that made the songs and the sound a bit more symphonic.
Yeah. And, I mean, going a little bit to the tour that you guys recently canceled first, you know, it was somebody else was going to fill out for Roy, then you guys decided to cancel it. Can you shed a bit of more light, other than what we heard in the press release, about why you canceled so late?
Well, I mean, you know, we had to make quick decisions, you know, because we found out very close to the tour that Roy couldn't do it. So we had to find someone quickly, and Michael from Circus Maximus came in, and we did some rehearsals. He sounded great, but we just still didn't feel like it was Camelot, and we felt like, you know, the pre-sales were amazing for the tour, and we knew there would be a lot of people at the shows, and we just didn't feel like it was the right way to represent the band, you know, from people that had bought tickets months ago, and that's basically all there is to it, you know. And so we decided to reschedule the dates for, you know, the near future, and that's something we're working on right now.
And do you think that this will have, like, some kind of negative impact on the promotion of the new album, since you guys were going to be kind of, like, in the middle of the tour when it came out here in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't – I don't think it helps, per se, but, you know, at the same time, not every band is touring when the record comes out, you know. I mean, we're not touring Europe right now, and the record is charting very, very high all over Europe. So, obviously, it would have been better to be on tour with Roy, but at the same time, you know, we do what we have to do, and the record's still going to sell. It's when we're going to come back, and then the record will sell even better when we do the second round of touring here.
And just going back a little bit more to the record again, you guys have a couple of guest appearances. Whenever you're writing the songs, do you like put them in? I mean, do you already have them in mind, or do they just come out as a suggestion?
It's more, you know, we kind of like when we're working on the songs, we kind of think about if there's a part that would make sense for a certain person. For example, Bjorn from Soil Work was who we thought about for the Great Pandemonium. And we didn't go, let's find a place for Bjorn. It was more like, hey, this is a cool thing for Bjorn. So it comes out of the song itself, asking for somebody or an idea from the song itself. We don't go into it saying, we got to have these guests on our record, you know.
And do you think that now songwriting is getting easier with time, since you've been doing it for quite a while with Camelot?
I wouldn't say it's easier. I mean, we know that we don't want to repeat ourselves, so if an idea pops up that's similar to something we might have done, we throw it away very quickly, whereas in the past we might have, like, tried to work on it and then maybe wasted a little bit of time on it. I think it's still a challenge, you know, to write original songs that, like I said, aren't repeating ourselves. But, you know, at the same time, you know, with more experience, you learn you learn how to do things more streamlined, and the creative process is always fun, you know. So that's the funnest part for me, is creating the songs and then performing them live. You know, the studio part is something that is just something you have to do. I'm not a big studio guy. I really like being able to play the songs live.
And just perfectly leading up the question, do you guys, whenever you guys write then, do you think about how it's going to sound live? And you're not too much concerned about all the, you know, production that you can put behind a song to make it sound way better?
No, I mean, I think we try to, of course, when we compose songs, certain songs, we think, hey, this would be a great live song, you know. And we do what we think we should to make the thing sound as good as possible on the record. You know, when you bring the song live, it's going to sound different. You know, maybe the guitars are heavier because the guy that you take on tour, you know, likes heavy guitars or whatever. So it's always fun to have the songs presented a little bit differently than on the record. And I think that's part of why people go to see a live show. That, you know, otherwise they could just watch a band play to playback or whatever, you know. So, well, we definitely think about certain songs for live when we're composing.
And so what do you think about all these bands that they use way too much production, and then you see them live and it's like a completely different band?
I'm not sure. I don't really go see a lot of bands, so I can't really say specifically. But obviously, you know, some bands are, you know, half of the thing is from playback, so I don't think that's cool.
Okay, fair enough. And also, the new album was released, like, almost 15 days before in Japan. Is there a particular reason why it came out so early over there?
Well, no, initially it was supposed to be out at the same time everywhere, but there were delays with production here and there, and that's why it came out a little bit later in the U.S.
And, I mean, now we've seen that since the music industry is taking a hit, well, has taken a hit from illegal downloading and everything, now we see more Digipak bonus editions and special editions and stuff. Was this what you guys had in mind when you released the three different versions of the album?
Well, I mean, it's always good to have options with whether it's music or whatever, you know, toothpaste. I mean, you want to have options, and if the more options people have, the less excuse they have to not buy the record, you know. So, and, you know, when we came up with the Digipak, we wanted to make sure the bonus material was top quality, and we've been able to do that with the new album. And as I said, you know, the record just entered the top 100, which is the highest we've ever had. So, obviously, you know, we're doing something right, you know, with our fans, and I think that's one thing the fans can always depend on, is that the band's going to give them something that's worth their money, you know.
And where do you think that all this is going to shift, since, I mean, it's kind of seen that record sales are kind of picking up again for certain musical genres, but a lot of other people want to go all digital. What is your thought on all of this?
Well, I still love CDs myself personally, so I know that there's discussion that the CD is going to die, but I really don't know. I mean, right now, we still sell a lot of CDs, so obviously we don't want the CD to die. I mean, a lot of fans still love to be able to have the CD, to have the booklet. It's just a totally different experience to downloading something. So what happens in the future, I'm not sure. You know, we kind of have to go with the flow, I think, you know, and see how it goes. I mean, obviously digital is increasing in terms of that kind of thing, you know, but let's see what happens. I mean, maybe vinyl comes back, who knows.
And, I mean, what do you see the band going from here, besides touring and promoting this album?
Well, we've been very fortunate to grow with each album, and you know, not only in terms of sales, but, you know, the shows have gotten bigger, and so we still want to, you know, play bigger shows. We want to play bigger, make a bigger production for the fans to see, you know, whether it's pyros or massive stage props, whatever. I mean, that's something that we've been able to start doing in Europe, and we want to be able to grow that in the U.S. as well.
And what about musically? Where do you think you want to take the band's sound?
That's hard to say. I mean, we don't really think too much about directions. When we start writing an album, for example, with this new record, we just sit down and start working on songs, you know. And it kind of depends on what kind of influences have come in our lives over the time between albums as well. So we really don't think or plan out like musical directions. That's why, you know, like with this album, if it's a little bit darker, that doesn't mean the next record's going to be even darker. It could be something totally different, you know.
And I mean, for a band that has a bigger fan base in Europe than in the U.S., what do you think this happens?
Well, I think it's more of a society thing. The U.S. is just more generated by trends, and I think there's just a lot more diversions in the U.S., whether it's television or just things to do that make it very difficult to make a kind of scene thrive, you know. Also, geographically, the country is just so big that, for example, in Germany, it's the size of one of our states, so, you know, it's really easy to tour all over Germany to have, you know, promotion just in that one country. It's, like, very concentrated, where in the U.S., it's such a big country, it's a little bit more difficult to do that kind of thing.
And you mentioned trends. Do you think that, I mean, power metal, progressive metal, will ever become a trend in the U.S.?
I mean, I think to a certain extent, yes. But like I said, I don't really think about that. I don't really want to think about being part of a trend, you know. I mean, anything could be a trend if it catches on for whatever reason, you know. Yeah, marketing or video games, whatever. So who knows? I mean, all I know is that, you know, we're fortunate to have a really great fan base in the U.S., and I'm looking forward to coming back and doing the North American tour and, you know, meeting every one of these people on stage.
And, I mean, just to sum it up and kind of close things off, is there anything else that you want to add for people looking into buying the album or already bought the album and help you guys break Billboard charts?
Yeah, well, just, you know, thanks for your support. Looking forward to rescheduling the North American dates, coming back and kicking everyone's ass, and, you know, horns up.